My friends, one of the things that I love to tell people is when you look at the government and you have to explain it to people and you go to Washington and you say, oh, look, there's the White House. This is where the head of the administration, the executive branch. And, oh, look, the Supreme Court, that's judicial, and Congress. And then we have these people run the government. That's our government. Are you kidding me? There is a subterranean, almost like a termite underground sub rasa government that is not reviewed, not held to same ethics standards. We were, remember last time during the first Gulf War and Iraq. Remember the neocons, these outboard groups, the Defense Policy Board, the Wolfowitzes and the Pearls, who were the Geithners and the Summers and Goldman Sachs. There are people who run this country and are involved in critical decisions that you don't vote for. They don't. There's no exposure. There's no disclosure. No transparency. Well, the book that deals with this in part, much more eloquently, is entitled Shadow Elite, How the World's New Power Brokers Undermine Democracy, Government, and the Free Market. And the author of this particular wonderful book, Janine Waddell, joins us. Janine, welcome to the Lionel Show.
Thank you. It's great to be on the show.
Well, believe me, it's double for me. Now, you are, for those who are would like to know your bona fides, we have a link to you and your impressive curriculum vitae at our website at lionelonline.com. You're a professor in the School of Public Policy at George Mason University, senior research fellow, blah, 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 blah. Now, I know you know who you are. Janine, whenever you talk about this, I don't know if you've run into this, but I do. People look at you and they say, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear. Are you a conspiracy theorist person? Don't tell me that come on, I want to believe in disclosure. I want to believe that I know everything. I want to believe in history and the United States and George Washington. You must have run into this. You must know these people who, frankly, do not want to know about this.
Right. Well, I think one of the things to really be clear about is, no, this is not a conspiracy. Conspiracies are typically illegal and subterranean. And I loved your description, the subterranean, sub rosa. And, you know, sometimes they do operate quite under the, in a kind of under the table way. The point is that we don't know exactly what they're doing. The players that I'm charting have multiple roles across different organizations and agencies, and these roles are mutually influencing and overlapping and not fully disclosed. But a lot of what they're doing is perfectly open. You mentioned Richard Pearl. Well, someone like Pearl hires public relations consultants to get his message across. He's quite open in many of his foreign policy goals and agendas. That's not conspiratorial at all. And also what he's doing, we may not like it, but, certainly a lot of it can't be reduced to mere conflict of interest or corruption in the way that we know it. So no, it's not conspiracy, not at all. I mean, it's more difficult to track than conspiracy.
Do you know in our current lexicon, Janine Waddell, what that term means? Conspiracy is any theory, this is in the Lionel lexicon, any theory, any proposed fact or reality or hypothesis that in some way shakes a rudimentary belief as far as transparency, honesty. Don't tell me anything negative. You know, I use a terrible analogy. It's the, I call it the your parents having sex hypothesis or phenomenon. You know they had sex. You just don't want to think about it. Mm. So when you talk about the Pearls, I remember and we'll talk about this just for a moment because it's not just in this particular area, but when this outboard, Defense Policy Board, when these non-elected, I don't know, adjuncts, I don't even know, a junior college has greater hierarchical rules. You had Wolfowitz, Pearl, you had these neocons who basically moved into the Pentagon and told members of the military, we're in charge now. And nobody said, people never stopped and said, who the hell is Pearl?
Right.
Who is Wolfowitz? Who are these people? We just said, well, it must be okay because,
right.
I mean, and it's, you're right. It's not illegal. That's correct.
And that's what makes it, and that's what's part of the reason it's so insidious, that it isn't illegal. And the fact of the matter is that there has been a rise in both the numbers and importance of government advisory boards in recent years, according to the Congressional Research Service. And I chart that and many other developments in Shadow Elite, the book. And that enables people to, private individuals who have their hands in many different pies, if you will, to their fingers in many different pies, to combine those roles, to play off one role against another, and have influence that's really beyond the accountability of the standard government auditing authorities. And the worst thing is that we the public don't have real ways of finding out what's going on. And even when we do, I mean, even when journalism and investigative reporting doesn't fail us, and as you know, it's been on the and as your listeners no doubt know, it's been really on the decline. You pointed right to another issue, which is we don't want to hear bad news.
Well, also, let me just add to this, and in case you've just tuned in, we're talking to Professor, I love that, Professor, Il Professor, Janine Waddell. The book is called Shadow Elite. And again, as you know, in current literature, you have a very small title and then 20 pages of subtitle. It's called How the World's New Power Brokers Undermine Democracy, Government, and the Free Market. You know what my next book is going to be called? Colon. And then this long title. I'm just going to forget the title and just go right to the subtitle. Now, let's talk about something. If you, and this is so sad, one of the things that protects these people, Janine Waddell, is that our ignorance, our nescience, our ennui, our boredom, our lack of interest. If you went to Times Square, stopped 1,000 people, held a gun to a loved one's head and said, quick, tell me anything about the Federal Reserve. Anything. Just make one sentence, something cogent, roughly factual, and I'll let your loved one go. There would be carnage all over the... No idea what this is about. You mentioned, for example, Bob Hormats. And also, something that's happening here, as Stephen Stills would say, what it is isn't exactly clear. But there is this meme, to use that Dawkins term, of... Remember when Ponzi scheme? We thought Ponzi was a guy from Happy Days. Or whatever, Fonzie or Ponzi. We had no idea. Now you say Ponzi scheme, and people go crazy. When you say now Goldman Sachs, people who don't know what Goldman Sachs is says, aha, who's Bob Hormats? We're talking about Geithner, Rubin. All of a sudden, people are saying, wait a minute, Goldman Sachs, that group. In New Jersey, when John Corzine was running for re-election, people said, you know, he was with Goldman Sachs. What's that? I don't know. But it's like the Trilateral Commission. I don't know. But it's scary. There are these people who are legitimate, in the open. Nobody knows anything about them. Conflict of interest in spades. What sayeth you, Professor?
Well, I would. It's actually been described more as a quote coincidence of interest, because in conflict of interest, we know the roles are much more clear, and we know we have a sense of what the actual, you know, clear cut conflicts are. Where these people are often, they're constructing their roles so as to serve the agendas of themselves and their networks. And the roles are moving around. They're not stable. I mean, today's elite is less visible. It's more peripatetic.
But do they peregrinate? I'm sorry.
Well, pardon. Well, furthering is their own agendas. They're working in different institutions, and their loyalty tends to be to the network, not to the institutions, and not to the shareholders, to the voters, to the public of those institutions.
But so, you know, but Jeanine Waddell, again, the book is The Shadow Elite. We'll just leave it at that, please, because the subtitle's another show. But I would tell these folks, I would tell the Hormances and the Geithners and the Summers and everybody, I'd say, don't worry about it. Yeah, there may be some blogger. Yeah, there may be some. Maria Bartiromo may mention it, or Erin Burnett. Trust me, nobody cared. Basically, you had Geithner telling Congressman so-and-so, I disagree with everything you're saying. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. That was the end of it. The end of all of the. Do you remember a while back, one of the greatest conflicts of all time, the beloved and great Carlyle Group, James Baker, representing Saudi Arabia, and then enlisted by the government to try to get Saudi to represent Iraq and trying to get countries to forgive Iraq's debt while concomitantly representing Saudi Arabia.
Right.
And people said, uh-huh, so what's your point? Now, in a country, I hate to say this, that loves Tiger Woods text messages, because that's juicy, and loves Hollywood gatecrashers, and whether Meredith Baxter Burney's gay, and other, you know, that kind of stuff. The problem that I have is that while your this clarion call is correct, and I agree with you, what would you suggest that we do to make people investigate this? In fact, the question is, what would you like done to address this?
Well, I think we have to. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head here. One of the issues, a key issue, is, and it's actually one of the things that's given rise to this, one of the transformational developments that's given rise to this whole phenomenon. I call it the embrace of truthiness.
Yes.
Truthiness was coined, of course, by comedian Stephen Colbert, and it's defined as, preferring concepts or facts that one wishes to be true rather than those known to be true. And you can really trace the origins to the mid-90s when you had the rise of cable news networks and the rise of the Internet. But the point is that truthiness allows people to play with how they present themselves to the world, regardless of fact or track record, and they often get away with it. I mean, you just pointed out Geithner, for example, and who cares is the point. Performing, as in theater, is required in today's public sphere,
yes.
And that's a real feature of the age, of the culture we're in, and so. This may sound vague, but there has got to be a discussion about, what our culture has come to, in that the substance is so often in the performance than in what is said. John Stewart said, you can't judge a book by its content.
Are you,
are
you just going to cite Comedy Central? What does Samantha Bee have to say about that?
No. I kid, of course.
But you're right.
I mean, this is crucial because this is part of the issue. I mean, there are dozens of, as you know, of great websites out there. And some of them actually do good. I mean, there is some good investigative reporting. I mean, places like Center for Public Integrity or Pogo does certain.
But right now, people, you must understand, their eyes are glazing over. Let me tell you, if I had to explain to people, no, I mean, I dig this. Listen, I think you're absolutely correct. But what the problem that I have with it is this. Here's what I would tell Harriet Hartland, these people out there. The biggest problem that I have is, if you ask somebody, what happened during this last financial disaster, this collapse, this bubble, this whatever, what was the reason? And one of the things you try to tell people is that post-depression, when there was this idea that banks, depository institutions were protected, by the FDIC. And there were rules about if you put your check in, by God, you should get it out. It was a place that kept your money. Wall Street then came along and said, you know what? There's some other things that really are not depository models. We have derivatives, we have hedge funds, we have investment banking. Then Glass-Steagall, which was this wonderful firewall that separated the two, that was dissolved. And meanwhile, the nation zombified country walked around saying, I don't know what this means. And then all of a sudden, people realized that nobody was watching anything. It's not that there was the fox in the hen house. There was no, it was nothing. And then who do we pick to watch over this, to protect, to make sure this doesn't happen again? The very people who still have friends and acquaintances at Wall Street, in Wall Street, who want this obfuscation and this gray type of banking to continue. That's what, where are the, what are the changes in regulation that have taken place? Anything? Do we ever talk about that? Can this happen again? No, mum's the word. And no, excuse me, quote this one, dumb's the word, because that's where we are. But you're, I believe me, this could happen again. If you think that this problem we went through with the credit crunch and credit default swaps, that that's over with, oh no, it's going to be called something else, even more arcane, more recondite. That's what I feel.
No, no, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, I think anyone who thinks that the era of financial ledger demand and lack of transparency is over is somehow, you know, completely out of reality.
But you know what they can do? You know what they can do, Janine Waddell? They can buy your book, Shadow Elite, How the World's New Power Brokers Undermine Democracy, Government, and the Free Market. And by the way, let me remind you, Christmas is just around the corner. This makes a great stocking stuffer, and it's fine for dad or grad. I heartily endorse this. Is this on Kindle?
I'm sure it is.
It better be, Janine Waddell. Thank you so much, Professor. It was a pleasure.
You. Enjoyed it.